Hello, friends. It is 2025. This is the Design Block Podcast. I'm Eric Hansen, your host. First episode of the year. Let's get into it. Hello, and welcome to the first episode of 2025 of the Design Block Podcast. It's me, Eric. So this episode is interesting because this one was not planned. I'm still trying to figure out my cadence and how often I'm going to release and all that fun stuff. It's only episode 4, so it's just the beginning. But as some of you may or may not know, I am currently looking for work. So as designers do, I am updating my portfolio. As I was going through one of the projects and updating it, it seemed like it would actually be a really good topic for the podcast, and that is actually about research and how effective a very little amount of research can be when it's paid attention to the right way. So let's jump into it. All right. So as I was saying, this episode is all about research and the defense of research. I've had people ask for concrete examples of where research has made a difference, and this seems like actually the perfect example of how even quick research can save a company millions and save teams from wasting a ton of time. So this is a story from when I was working at Wayfair, end of 2019, first part of 2020, before the pandemic. And a small team was put together to try and improve the integrations workflows for suppliers being onboarded. Basically, from the top down, the team was being kind of directed or told to take a look at API and EDI integration flows, which were really manual at the time, and make those better. The idea behind that was that those two pieces, API and EDI integration, were the two most technically complex pieces for suppliers onboarding. It was technical for the suppliers, and it was technical for Wayfair. Like I said, there was a ton of kind of handholding that had to happen and manual work. So leadership at the time thought that was the direction to take. So a key metric for Wayfair on onboarding was basically to get suppliers selling as quickly as possible. It sounds obvious, but suppliers that sold their first item quickly and kind of made their first dollar quickly retained much better than suppliers that took longer to onboard, longer to integrate, and longer to sell their first item. So as I mentioned, leadership really kind of directed us to tackle API and EDI for, you know, the perceived complexity of that. And if we could improve that, you know, we would improve things and people would be happy. Most of the team understood how complex that was going to be. And it was a little worrisome. We kind of knew what the work would be in front of us to make it good. And it was a lot. The platforms that we would be working on to kind of enable this were old and entangled in kind of this monolithic architecture. Engineering had a ton of concerns about what they could accomplish while not breaking other systems. The number of platforms and kind of different areas that we would need to support was kind of unknown, other than that it was large. Like there was a big fear about kind of doing one thing in one area and not being able to understand how that would or would not break it down the line in other areas. So, you know, we were worried. As the team got together and went into our kind of initial kickoff discussion, one of the engineers said, do we really care if it's API or EDI, or do we just want suppliers to be able to sell more quickly? And I think that was the first kind of challenge to leadership's idea. And it really kind of focused, I think, on the right outcome. So if we talk about the key metric being time to first sale, then how can we look at like what really supports time to first sale? Is it that API and EDI integration, or could it be something else? I think it's a perfect example of taking kind of that higher level look at things. And it's, you know, another good example of team collaboration and getting ideas from everyone in the group. So that was awesome. It was exactly the right framing, I think, for the team at the time. So as that question was asked, like obviously my designer brain kind of goes into like, what research can we do? What can we really dig into to understand like what gets the suppliers to the quickest time to sell? And we didn't have a lot of time for research, but I had access to the supplier support team. So they were the team that would kind of walk people through the different integrations. There's a whole process here that I don't know how much I'll get into, but the supplier support team was a good internal source to understand kind of what our customers were having to go through. And I was also able to grab a list of suppliers that had like recently completed onboarding. So I could reach out to them and I was able to schedule about 10 people just within a few days to talk to us and give us some time. What we learned from talking to both supplier support and those the suppliers that had kind of gone through the process, we learned that the process that was in place was just not scalable for all of supplier support. They were buried in manual tasks with every supplier they were working with. So they had like too much workload. And we learned that most suppliers, really around 80% of them, were what we call manual suppliers. They didn't want or need API or EDI integration and the complexities that came with those systems. The larger suppliers did want API and EDI integration, but most of them didn't want to start with that. They wanted to kind of test the waters before they did the work for API and EDI integration. If you think about that, that's a huge chunk of people that would not even touch the work that was being proposed that we do. 80% of the suppliers didn't want to integrate with API or EDI at all. And then the ones, the 20% that did want to integrate with API and EDI, most of those didn't want to do that at first. So by focusing on API and EDI, we would be focusing on a very small subset of the larger customer base. So the main point here, I think, is that had we just done what we were told, not thought about the larger, higher level idea or object here, which was, again, getting suppliers selling quickly, we would have built absolutely the wrong thing. We would have built a solution that would not have made a difference for over 80% of our customers and only made marginal gains for supplier support. So with essentially less than 10 hours of research, we saved the company millions of dollars, I think, in development in terms of like what it would have taken to develop some of what we were talking about, reduce the risk to the rest of the systems in almost incalculable ways. What we learned that we could build to solve the problem was also just exponentially easier to design. It was easier to build and it was easier to deploy. It left that monolith system essentially untouched while removing a lot of the manual data entry tasks for the supplier support team. I know that there's a lot of probably detail left out of this story in terms of like what we did design. And what I want to do is, you know, if you want to see more of the problem and the solution, you can take a look at the portfolio on my website and see the entry for supplier integrations. I'll leave a link in the show notes for that. But the point is that the solution really isn't the story here, but the research is. We've all heard that we don't have time for research, but this is like a super simple, concrete example of how we can't afford to not do research. I hear the argument all the time that we don't have time for research and research takes too long, but research is what you make it. Our team didn't slow down and take weeks to research, and what we learned in that research made what would have been a multi-quarter project turn into a simple four sprint project. So again, you can't afford to not do research. You can't afford to not look at the problem more holistically. I know that this example is not the standard and not all research will net the kind of change this did, but this is an actual real world example of the difference that it can make. And again, not a whole lot of time invested in this. So my takeaway for you on this is at least pause long enough to ask the questions. Even just a few hours of asking questions and doing some amount of research can have a dramatic effect on the work and the result. So as I'm editing this and I'm kind of listening back, some of the questions I think I can hear in my head is, if you were directed to do one thing and you learned this, how did you get leadership to understand and kind of agree to the change? And this is where like data is your friend and designing with data is your friend. It was very easy to show the impact that EDI and API would and would not have. It was very easy to show, because of the research, the 80% of suppliers that that solution they proposed would not even touch. So when you start being able to show that, hey, this work that you're proposing isn't going to have the outcome at all that you think it is, but we can get to that outcome you want. Again, this is where that that key piece of time to first sale matters. We can get to that outcome in a way that is serves a much broader part of the customer base. Again, is way easier to design, is way easier to implement with less risk. So it really, once you looked at it, once you brought that data forward and presented it to leadership, it was really just kind of a no-brainer. Like, it was easy. So again, as I was doing my portfolio update, this just seemed like, wow, this is a really good example of where research kind of wins the day. And again, I know that it doesn't always happen like that. I've done other research that still had an impact, but this is kind of a special case, which is why I wanted to share it. So this was kind of a short one. Thanks for listening. Again, if you want to know more about this kind of the scenario and the research and kind of what we did or what, you know, the team did to solve the problem, you can head over to my website, take a look at my portfolio. It's under supplier integrations, and you can see a little bit more about the story. I'm also realizing that you can hear my pug, Emma, snoring in the background of this podcast, which is amazing. I probably need to do something different with my microphone. Okay, to close this out, if you've enjoyed this, if you found this in any way helpful, do me a favor. You can send this to someone else who might think it's helpful. You can leave a comment in whichever podcast aggregator or software that you use. You can subscribe if you haven't already. All of those things would be amazingly helpful. And I thank you. Until next time, keep designing, keep making, and we'll talk to you later.